and alpha sometime hopefully we'll do it here. It's just a basic introduction to the Christian faith. It's a great tool to, hey, invite your friends, your neighbors, everybody you know that's not a believer, just invite them. Say, hey, we're going to eat together. We're going to watch a video, sit around. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's wonderful. Yeah. Well, in this group we did, we had a lady who was about 70 years old. She called herself a German Lutheran, because, of course, if you're German, you're Lutheran, I guess. I don't know. And she was always, she had this combative spirit. She said she was a Christian, which, but she had this combative spirit. Well, one of the videos in the Alpha deals with the work of the Holy Spirit. There's three videos, but, and the way Alpha works, just to give you a little context, is you always get together and eat together first, okay? And so you're just sitting around eating together. We need a good theology of food, okay? And we're going to make my mother the first one to, you know. Yeah. And then you sit and you watch a video, about 45 minutes. Nikki Gumbel does a great job of a lot of stories illustrating. And then you have a break, get a cup of coffee, some dessert, and then you come back to your table and say, so, what'd you think? Or how'd that make you feel? And it was fascinating because that night, she was like, she said, so are you telling me? I've been working with the Vancouver Police Department for 10 years with a psychic, helping them solve crimes. Are you telling me that's not of the Holy Spirit?
Well.
Jeez, brother.
I thought, whoa. I said, and what I would do with her, and I did this often with her, I would just hold up my Bible and said, Trudy, says, your fight isn't with me. I'm not the one saying this. I'm just telling you what the Word says. God said, have nothing to do with sorcerers, conjurers, witchcraft, soothsayers. I'm just telling you, that's what God says. So why are you getting mad at me?
Yeah.
Well,
you're delivery boy.
Exactly. Well, all of a sudden, you've just deflected. You see what I'm saying? When somebody combats you, remember, you know, it's easy when you're in that to get defensive.
Oh, yeah.
But you only need to get defensive if, well, you really don't need to, even if it's personal. You're going, well, okay, whatever. They're having a bad day, but their argument isn't with me. Especially when it comes to your faith. Their argument is with God Himself. It's like R.C. Sproul said, one time he was invited to speak. I don't think we're going to get to the next sheets tonight.
We got to make up for Thanksgiving.
I know. Well, you're going to be here till 10 o'clock then. So you might want to put some coffee on or something. But R.C. Sproul was once asked to speak at an atheist group in defense of Christianity. He says, I got up there and the first thing I said, he says, first thing, I want to lay some ground rules. He said, number one, your objection to the Christian faith, you may not like this, but it is not an intellectual objection. He said, your objection to the Christian faith is a moral objection. Because if you actually come to the faith place where you believe that God is, now by definition, you have to respond to that. He says, I made it out of there alive. But again, the point was, he was just, it wasn't about him. And that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, when somebody shows up at your door, you know, when you're talking with friends and they're making, you know, fun of your faith, or you get, you know what, this isn't about me. So here's what God's Word says. So your issue is with him. Okay? And so you've just deflected it, because as long as it's personal, you don't get anywhere.
Right.
And it's really easy to, you know, for tempers to flare, and you go, how dare you say it? So just, you know, as a side note, if you keep that kind of, I think, thinking in mind with truth and grace, you can go a long ways to defending and to deflating some of your opponents or the objections that you may receive. Okay, we're just going to... Questions. You're right. He says, Paul was very, in Corinthians, he was very adamant that, and the issue there is, the issue, Paul was very adamant, he knew what he believed. Mm-hmm. And he knew what course of action he was going to take. Okay? So, your question is, why did Paul do that, or why don't we do that? Okay, are you saying we should do that? Yes.
How is the example there in Paul in Corinthians on how the church should handle things in the church?
That's a question of discerning what's going on. Okay, it's discerning is a couple. Let's use your example. Is a couple coming that's, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. They're living together. They're sleeping together. And they're going to church, and they're just involved in everything, and you're going, okay, this is wrong. Because they know it's wrong. The Scripture says it's wrong. Now, if we don't do anything, meaning the church, we've just implicitly said, well, yeah, it's really not that bad. Okay? Now, if that same couple comes to your church the first time, and you meet them, and they don't know Christ... But there's something there. There's a longing that, you know, and something's missing. And you know, so let's try church kind of a thing. And they come and introduce themselves, and you find out in the midst of the conversation that they're living together, they're sleeping together. I mean, you may not find that out the first conversation, but do you kick them out of the church and tell them, no, you can't come back? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because they'd... What else do you expect of unbelievers? Hello? They're unbelievers. Why wouldn't they? I mean, if I was an unbeliever, I would. What the heck? Eat, drink, and be merry, right? Because tomorrow we die. I mean, you know, come on. Let's be real.
What do you do with your first example?
Pardon me?
What do you do with your first example?
The first example, I think you counsel them, number one, you know, and that's where it comes into church discipline. You know. What's that? Well, and that's, yeah, that applies to the second example. You know, with the first example, it comes to church discipline of counseling them. You know what? A couple like that, if they came to me and said, Russ, would you marry me? I said, sure. But first, you're going to move, one of you is going to move out. And from this day forward, you're going to stop sleeping together until your wedding night. Okay? And we're going to work through that. And all of a sudden, you'll find really quickly if there's a desire to follow Christ or not. Yes?
So, it seems like an equal issue, maybe more, was not so much his problem as that the church gloried in the fact that they accepted him.
Yes. Yeah, well, it was a bigger...
He said, you need to deal with
it. Absolutely. The church was celebrating their freedom in Christ. Yes.
And even the pagans looked down on it.
And there again, can you take freedom in Christ way over here and go, we can do anything we want? Of course you can. God loves me, he wouldn't punish. Paul said that in Romans. Shall we sin that grace may abound? And to put it in Paul's vernacular, hell no. May it never be.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That was unthinkable. So yes, what they'd taken Christian freedom, they were glorying in their freedom, and here was their exhibit A, incest. And you go, Paul was like, what's wrong with you people? So the first example is Christian discipline. You know, that there is discipline. You know what the biggest hindrance to church discipline in our day and age is? You're never going to guess.
Blind.
No.
Blind.
How'd you all get here?
How'd we all get here?
Yeah, how did you get here tonight?
She drove me.
The biggest hindrance to church discipline today is the automobile. Because
yeah.
If I say, we really got to talk, brother.
Yeah.
And you get ticked.
Yeah. Just go get in my car and leave.
You'll get in your car and leave and go to some other church.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Sure.
Okay? So, but back to, let me finish with the second example of the couple that comes in, an unbelieving couple living in sin. Dan said, you don't catch the fish. Have you ever gone fishing and caught a fish that was already cleaned? No.
Never have,
and you never will. Okay? And you're going, God, I'm thankful that you didn't ask me to be cleaned up before I came to you. Because if that had been the case, there's not a one of us that would be here.
Rust. Pain. Stain up. Let it in. The Spirit dove in a cross. That a young girl made for us quite a number of years ago. Ralph was working at a company. And he was working with a young man that was living with his girlfriend. And they started going to church. They both accepted the Lord. And he came in and he said, I don't know what's going on. Something bothering me. And Ralph and he got to talking. And Ralph said, you shouldn't. And he said, but we can't afford to separate. He said, how many bedrooms do you have? Separate bedrooms. Completely, until you make that commitment. 3 months later, they were married.
So there's a couple that was willing to listen, actually, to the voice of the Spirit.
Yes. And
right.
They were brand new Christians.
Right.
And they somehow just didn't know why it was bothering them.
Right. And that's where I think that you talk about teaching.
Right.
And taking people by the hand and showing lots of grace. With truth. You can't divorce those two from one another. And that discernment process, especially in today's world, is not always easy. Because it gets really, because the instant, just think about it. Somebody walks in Sunday morning there with their partner. They're openly gay. And they become somehow involved in ministry, and you're going, okay, we got to do something. What is the first thing they're going to say to you? You know, if you came up to me and said, hey, we love you and everything, but you can't be involved in ministry because you're obviously living in sin. You know what I would tell them?
Goodbye.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about your sin. Mm-hmm. What about your sin? Because you can throw that, and you're going, okay, now what do you do? Because I go, yeah, right, I got sin. And that's where discernment comes in, okay? How do we deal with these issues? Because we live in a very complex world. I mean, in some ways, 1950s was a whole lot easier.
Amen.
In some ways. Okay? But today we live in a very complex world where, you know, people taking selfies of parts of their bodies and posting them on the internet, and you're going, okay, how did our world get so screwed up?
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is discerning. And how do you discern? I would submit to you there's only one way to discern, and that's by the Spirit and the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go just by the Spirit, because that sometimes you go, well, you can go by, let me rephrase it. You can go just by the Holy Spirit. The challenge is, are you actually hearing the Holy Spirit, or am I hearing myself?
Right.
You got to discern that one too. Okay? But the work of the Holy Spirit's got to line up with the text, and vice versa. And those two together, that's where we discern, okay, Lord, how do we deal with this situation that shows both grace and truth, that is tender-hearted, that is gracious, but also speaks truth, that you know, this is a place for broken people. It is a place for hurting, wounded people. But it's not a place for people who openly live in rebellion and say, I'm sorry, that can't go. Okay? And some, it's not always easy.
Russ, I don't know where to find the scriptures right off the top of my head, but it talks about remembering when God brought you from and allowing God to do it. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you get a little...
Right, and 1 Corinthians talks about that. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7 where he says, remember mm-hmm. what you once were, but you were washed. You were cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget the good news.
I got one question, and I know you're trying to get us out of here. Some of us don't have to get up.
We got an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So go for it.
How do we approach this? How is our fellowship, our, you know, I'm not going to use a congregation, but how do we do God's will in this? You know, I sang in a group that was a Christian group, and ends up one of the gentlemen was gay, and he spoke a little feminine, but no one really was really aware until he kind of came out of the closet. Well, that's, you know, do you want a gay person doing your music?
Okay, but there again, and that's, I think those are good issues to think through those things. Because one of the things I think Paul, you'll see in all of his letters, Paul's heart is for his believers to think Christianly.
Okay. Not circumcision, but the gospel.
Gospel, but so often we think culturally rather than Christianly or biblically. So, let's just take that example.
Yeah.
Was he living in an openly gay relationship?
At the time he hadn't. He has since, and, you know.
But at the time, he was not.
No.
So his gayness was his understanding of who he was.
He came out of it.
Okay, but he wasn't living in open gay relationship.
No, he attended a Christian college where one of the professors got him going that direction.
Okay, my question is this, is does a person who has a homosexual orientation, is that sin?
Has the orientation or are actually...
Do they have... If a person has a homosexual orientation, they feel they're gay, is that sin?
It's when you act on it.
No, it's not. That's not sin. It's when you begin to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, to back up. Okay, so he's singing in your choir. I think I'm gay. Okay, are you living in a gay... No, you know what?
But I have those instincts.
I have those instincts. Okay. The challenge is, in the church, we have tradition and going... Okay? I had a guy call me up one time in Canada. He says, Russ, what do I do? I says, what? He says, I'm going to college. I said, okay. And my English teacher says he's gay. What do I do? I said, I don't know what you're asking me. Go to college. What do you want? Go to class. Well, yeah, but he said he's gay. I said, so? Go to class. You paid for the class, right? Well, yeah. I said, okay. Now, I says, if you want to do the Christian thing, you'll go up to him and be a friend. And you'll say, can I buy you a cup of coffee? You'll become his friend. Because I would submit, we had a pastor in California, I think he still does it, of a big church, and he has a ministry to homosexuals. They meet in the church at night on a Sunday night. It's kind of under the radar because Christians are weird once in a while.
And
yeah, we do. But he says, he one time he told a story. He says, what we would do, we'd get together and have a Bible study. I don't know what they did. And he says, when we got done, we'd all stand together, all these guys, and we'd put our arms around each other, and we, you know, so we're in a big circle, and we'd pray together. And he says, one time I'm standing next to this big bruiser. He's got a big head of hair, you know, and I put my hand on the back of his head, and we're praying. He says, we get all done, and the tears are streaming down his face. He says, I looked at him and said, what's the matter? And he said, that is the first time another man has put his hand on my head and it did not mean something sexual. And it broke him. Wow. So they need friends. I said, just go to class and be his friend. And, you know, our son Josh was at CSU and in the music department, and for whatever reason, the creative, artsy-fartsy type people, the rate of homosexuality within the artsy-fartsy department is huge. And a lot of the kids that Josh went to school with were homosexuals. And they had told him, Josh, you're the first Christian I've ever met who's actually been kind to me or been a friend to me. I thought, I am so glad they said that about him. But that is such a sad testimony about the church. Why do we do that?
Fear is probably one of the reasons.
What's that?
Fear.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So there's, you know, there's a whole number of reasons, but it's going back and discerning. Remember the trajectory. That if we get stuck on, we're not going to compromise, we're going to be the truth here, and forget about grace, you're going to be a stone-cold church in a few years, okay? And people will be turned off by that. You mean I shouldn't speak truth? Of course you should speak truth. But you have to do it with grace. So, anyway.
Can you imagine how, I'm using this gentleman because I knew pretty well the whole
right.
situation. And he wanted to be, how do I say it? He went to a Christian college, I believe, having known the Lord as his Savior. And
yeah.
Then he got influenced wrong, you know. And he's back with us, and I've sat with him while he cried his eyes out, trying to, he knew he was wrong, I believe, in my heart, but he had no way of knowing how to rid himself of that problem, because like you said, his folks were, you know, good, strong Christians, his sister, he had been a good, and so I had no idea how.
I think the best thing you can do in that situation is just put your arm around them and love them. Because there's a false narrative there that, and the false narrative is if you feel you're homosexual, you can come out of that and be heterosexual. Some people do. Do people go, some of you may know alcoholics. They go to AA meetings. How many meetings do they go to? All their lives. Why?
Because it never goes away.
It never goes away. Well, what's wrong with those people? Don't they know they could just pray and accept Jesus and it would go away? But that's the narrative that the homosexual community is living with. Okay? That is, one person put it this way, I am glad I don't have to bear that burden of that sin of having, okay, Lord, I got to fight this again today. I got to fight this again today. I got to fight this again today. The challenge is for a lot of them, it's front and center. The challenge for the rest of us, our sin is not front and center. So Well, you know, we have a low view of sin.
Mm-hmm. Fortunate thing that he's still in the church.
He's what?
He's still in the church.
Good. Good. So, okay, we're going to close there finally, even though it's not 10 o'clock. We will not make up for last week, sorry. So, anyway, let's close in prayer, and then if you have other questions. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Spirit directing us into the truth. Father, we thank you that Jesus came from the Father full of truth and grace. Lord, if it wasn't for your grace, we would not be here. We could not stand before your throne. So, Lord, we bless you, and we ask that you would go with us tonight, bring us home safely, and return us once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.